kilos in my back. Take Amtrak down south, then she flies back. My connect has ponytails tied back. I just hit 6 mil behind Tyvek. They content create, I despise that. I create content, then these tries that. Run these jewels, there's rules, I don't buy back. I topped all these lists, where's my prize at? Come on, Z, run these jewels, en français. Bum kaboo, no, bum. Oh, bijou, bum bijou. Well, that's in Creole. I don't know, I've never tried mugging someone using the French language. Actually, I've never tried mugging anyone, but when I'm thinking of... Oh my God. Welcome, bienvenue, à un nouvel épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanor.
Oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory, on July 30th, 2025. One more day before the end of this month, gang. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was not meant for you. All right, continuing with tradition, shout out to all you listeners. I'm going to ask you one big, huge favor, and that's to take a deep breath and applaud yourselves. Applaud yourselves like you mean it. Part of me doing this exercise is just that if you're part of my target audience, applauding yourself is one of the things. You'll applaud everyone else, but the one person you won't applaud is yourself. So, breaking out of habits, and trust me, I'm struggling with that as well. Also, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, even if it's by mistake, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something in this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. Then ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. And, quick heads up. This podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Now, all that means is this is me saying, hey, you're the one who hit the play button. In today's episode, titled 287, I'm working on the title, but it might be The Devil or The Tap Dancing Negro or The Tap Dancing Negro or what's the other line he says? The other title is, look at me scrolling for lyrics because I'm not... The Curse of the Zeros. Yeah, shout out to Tyler, the creator, for that one. Oh, right. So that's the potential title. And in today's topic, I'm reading the book. I'm going through the book by Sammy Davis Jr. titled Yes, I Can. And there's a lot of gems in that shit. And I will be talking about that and merging it with my own life. But before we do that, we're going to start with some quotes and some randomness. Tabarnak. Trying to go a whole episode without coffee. I swear I'm sober. Yeah, before I start with the first item, I'm going to... when I was reading the intro, and you know, for those of you who are returning listeners, you'll notice that I'm constantly... distracted, and I'm tempted to rename this podcast Shut Up Podcast or the Black Guy with Undiagnosed ADHD podcast, and that's my way of saying, yeah, I'm all over the place. Sorry to stay focused. Help, maybe I should put up a help wanted sign, but yeah, all right. First item.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, what did I put that? This one I'm going to keep it simple. Usually when I want to tell someone, when I'm really angry at someone, or someone says some fucked up shit, I'll play this clip.
Shut your mouth, Cave Bitch!
Yes, and in this particular situation, Cave Bitch is genderless. And men can get it. But if I want to be classy or want to convince you folks that I'm an adult, I think I'm going to play this clip.
Three girl hairstyles that guys do not like. If you have any of these hairstyles...
Shut up. Shut up.
Classy, eh? Content creator's name is the Alexandra Billings. I can't explain. Look, quick story. I used to have an ex-girlfriend, and I it's in the past, but one thing that surprised me about her is our first argument. When we getting into an argument with her, I remember the first time, and she didn't do shit like raised her voice, curse, but holy fuck, she used all the right words to be like, holy fuck, I think I'm getting, boom, I'm getting my ass kicked. Like, you felt it. It was so classy. Meanwhile, I grew up in a household where, okay, we're in an argument, therefore, start cussing. Start using the Lord's name in vain and call someone some derogatory terms and, yeah, anyway, but it's just classy. Look, I think all I'm saying is I think I'm going to add it to my sound file.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right, so for this one, rap music. Ah, man, I was supposed to find a clip to introduce this topic, but it's just rap music. I'll be honest, this what inspired today's this particular randomness is I was in my car. Excuse me. I was in my car, windows down, and my streaming music player was on streaming, and a motherfucker decided to play Drake's What Did I Miss? And I remember my first instinct was to lower the volume and shame. But while I was there in traffic, I had two thoughts. The first thought is, I believe Drake makes music for men who like to feel like the victim. More to the point, Drake makes music for men who get mad at their girl, for catching them cheating on them. Bitch, it's your fault. Why are you yelling at me? What the fuck? I'm the victim. I told you my mom. I've got his trauma response. Why are you yelling at me? When you look at, like, what did I miss? The second thought that I had is, I was thinking about the last time he released. It sounds like I'm shitting on, you know, fuck it. It's my goddamn podcast. I remember the last time he released an album and how unexcited I was. And the thing is, because I'm 50 years old, I'm an old head, considered an old head, and hence the name Grand Papa Beat. And I think I was starting to convince myself that those days of getting excited in hip hop for me are gone. Like, new artists, who gives a fuck? Album release, they're gone. All those days were in the past. That's what it is. It's part of my journey into being an older man, of getting old. And it's like you start feeling like nothing excites you. The shit that used to give you pleasure or you considered fun no longer happened. And hip-hop was in that category. Which is why I keep making a big fucking deal about the new Clips album. It was dope. It was dope. It's been the last time, like I said, I keep reinforcing. I bought the goddamn vinyl. Wait, you know what? Let me check where it's at, the vinyl. See, last time I checked the status, have they shipped it? I think I got robbed, man. Shame on me. Shame on Clips. If you know what? I should do this on my own time, but I just forgot. I'm going, yeah, still preparing and preparing shipment, but whatever. What was I thinking? I, it's probably stuck at the border. Goddamn Trump. Yeah, anyway, that's my point. I just got excited. It's been a while. Kendrick, too. Kendrick is along that category. I haven't forgotten you, Kendrick. Now, I also bring this up because I, that quote that I recited at the beginning of the POV, well, on that song, there's a verse by Tyler, the Creator. Now, Tyler, the Creator is one of those new artists by relatively to me, an old head, who's one of these new artists I never really paid attention to. It's like I turned off again in my mind. Look, I've reached a point where when I go to movies, I'm saying I know what the story's like. I'm convinced I've heard every joke. I've heard that. Look, man, that's again getting old. But I remember leaving Tyler, the Creator, off my radar, even though he was like a lot of people were talking about him and whatnot. And the two ways he got on my radar recently is one is that verse on POV by the Clips, the curse of the Zeros. Wait, what's the line again? Before I fuck it up, the curse of the shout out to you, Clips fan, angry at me for not knowing this verse off the top of my head. Where the fuck is it? Oh, there we go. The curse of the Zeros, when you become the devil or the tap dancing Negro. Now, I'm not really sure what it meant, but I knew my first thought was, I don't give a fuck what it means, but that shit is going to be a title for one of my episodes. Bang, here we at. Anyways, and then, what really solidified it is my music player. I'm trying to remember the name of the song that it played. Up next, is it in here? Oh, the new Raekwon's not bad. Oh, the Big Poe featuring Skateboard. Oh, that's... Yeah, the guy bizarre, see. Whatever. But, you know, that track was dope. That's my whole point. All this to say that this is me breaking a record that it was a dope track. So, Tyler, the Creator, man, I'm my bad for sleeping on you.
So, you're a philosopher?
Hey. Oh, okay. So, this clip, I'm calling it Mother Hen. Sometimes in randomness, I put shit in here that I could have written in the comment section of the video but instead, because I couldn't get the words out, I ended up saving the image and then speaking it out loud. So I'm going to play this clip about the mother hen, and it's essentially as mother hen as in you know what? Let me let the content creator explain it for herself. And it's called, but she uses a different word. I think she uses the bodyguard girl.
Women will see videos like this, a friend protecting their friend from getting approached by a guy, and say, haha, men don't know that we ask our friends to do this. But a really interesting discourse has started on Twitter, which is asking, why is it that the friend, the bodyguard friend, is often plus size, is often dark skinned, is often less attractive than you are? You are setting them up to get harassed by all these men, to get literally hit sometimes. If you can't or don't want to tell a man to leave you alone, I completely understand. But don't put your friend in that situation. Just leave the club, leave the party, wherever you are. Why are you turning your friend into a bodyguard? And honestly, when men start getting loud and start getting aggressive, I'm not convinced you're there to defend her. You're just happy it's not you, right?
Yeah, I know. This one took me back. First, let me start by saying that listening to this clip, I'm realizing that I was angry at the wrong person. The bodyguard friend was never was not the mean one. And I'm going for memory lane. When I saw this clip, heard this clip, heard her words, it reminded me of this one incident. Don't get me wrong, like, you know, I'm familiar with the incident of you're hooking up with a girl, at least you think you're hooking up with a girl, and then her friend jumps in and breaks it off, and she's not interested in it, and they walk away. And but this one time it happened to me, and it's engraved in my mind enough for me to share it with you, is homegirl was fucking mean. Holy fuck. She was mean. I mean, like, now, you know, I'm already a sensitive person. Not to say that I'm the victim in this shit, you know. I don't know, couldn't pick up on clues or whatever, but I remember hooking up with this girl. I thought I was hooking up with this girl, convinced shit was going well, and out of nowhere, her friend comes in, and I forget what she says, but it was enough for me to be like, fuck, In my mind, I was like, I hate this lady. I you know, and maybe she's the reason why I looked up the word, this was before Google, whatever. But I remember being familiar with the term, the mother hen, the one girl who looks out for all her homegirls. And I remember that same girl that I looked up, seeing her a second time, getting close to her, saying, hey, what the fuck's wrong with your friend? And she jumped in again. She's like, look. Somewhere along the lines of, can't you fucking get the point? Whatever, beat it. And I remember going that night, hating her. I wasn't trying to, whatever. Again, hating her. But now, it's a complete paradigm shift. Because I remember also thinking, yo, what the fuck? Your friend is feeling me. She's showing me her titties. It wasn't that extreme. But I remember feeling like, I'm getting vibe from this girl, and I don't get a lot of vibes. You're ruining it for me. She might be my, well, whatever. And, but I remember thinking, why the fuck isn't the girl saying anything? Wasn't she objecting? And someone had me convinced that, no, when the mother hen speaks, they go with, like, I remember being so confused by the concept, but now it makes way more sense that they had this one friend to be the mean one in the group. And I imagine, because I'm familiar with it too, right? I imagine how they praised her for, like, all the jokes about, like, oh man, she was all in his face and blah, 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 making her the mean person. I've been in situations, I know friends who, the one who speaks up, the one who makes the decision on behalf of the group because everyone else is too mentally, I'm speaking too much on this one, but I'm saying is, that's cool. Bottom line is, that's mean to put your friend in that position. Now, homegirl, content creator, oh, I forgot her name. Say her name. Her name is, Shikamso. C'est en anglais, so, if I was reading this in French, je serais en train de dire le Shikamso. You know what it is? Whatever. I get anxiety when I read names on this microphone. Links will be in the show notes. But what she said about, yo, you're putting your friend in danger. I'm like, that's never considered that. But I do know that, yes, that's an unfair position to put your girlfriend in. But, you know, kids will be kids. What can I tell you? I'm not going to change it. It's like I'm half apologizing for to that mother hen. Good for you for looking out for your girlfriends. And did I mention she was mean? All right, yeah.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, on the last episode, I am... So two more things to go, guys, before we get to Feed the Thought. On the last episode, after I published it, I came across this clip related to those five hockey players who were acquitted for sexually assaulting, man, this poor woman. Yeah, this one woman, the woman, I don't have her actual name, but on the last episode, I didn't give any details about the story because I wasn't that versed in it, but I was familiar about it's like I was attacking or going after the men, specifically the men, or the people in general who took this acquittal as a win. Like, we won. We fucking won. We like a hockey game. They won. And I thought it was disgusting. It was fucked up. But to add to it, then I came across this clip, and it's got more details about what happened. And I guess I'll just play it and then I'll just play it.
Let's stop pretending this was ever about consent. Let's stop pretending that what happened in that hotel room was anything less than a coordinated act of degradation, dressed up by lawyers, sanitized by PR firms, and protected by a system that would rather discredit a woman than disrupt a locker room. Mm. You didn't just fail to stop it, you chose to be a part of it. You entered the room one by one, you saw her, alone, and instead of asking, are you okay? You picked up where the last one left off, you filmed it, you laughed, you left her there and texted about it like it was a night out, not a crime scene. Don't you dare call that consent, you knew she wasn't consenting to that. You didn't care, because in your world, her body wasn't sacred. It was available, not a person. She was a perk. And the system, disgusting. The court bent over backward to protect your futures, your reputations, your comfort. And as if your shame was the thing at stake, a woman told the truth. She stood alone, shaking, and said, "This happened to me." And you asked her, "Why didn't you scream louder? Why did you stay in touch? Why didn't you act more broken?" As if surviving well makes you a liar. As if not dying on the floor meant it wasn't rape. As if trauma needs to look a certain way for it to count. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on every person who watched what happened and said, "But maybe she wanted it." Shame on every man who sat in that courtroom and felt relief, not horror. The system is not broken. It's functioning exactly as it was built, to protect men, to discredit women, to erase anything that threatens male power. You demand a woman be perfect, consistent, composed, unshakable, even while recounting the most dehumanizing night of her life. Meanwhile, you accuse men who pass around a woman like a group chat meme, stand silent instead of accountable, and hide behind each other and call it reasonable doubt. No, it's not doubt. It's cowardice. Plain, simple, cowardice. It's the same rot that's been infecting locker rooms, courtrooms, and boardrooms since I played hockey in the early 90s. To the men, you might have walked out of that courtroom cleared, but let's be honest, the stain is permanent. You know what you did, you know what you let happen, you know that she wasn't there for five of you, you know you watched her become smaller and quieter and still walked through that door like it was your turn. You may never see a jail cell, but you will never be clean again. To every survivor, this wasn't a failure of evidence, it was a failure of humanity, a failure of courage, a failure to treat women as people instead of props. And if this ruling made you feel unsafe, invisible, enraged, that's because it was designed to do exactly that. But hear this, your pain is real, the truth is intact, and their verdict has no bearing on our worth. We are done whispering, we are done asking nicely, we are done being told what has done to us wasn't bad enough to matter, because it matters, and it still does, and we will not forget. Sincerely, a woman who sees you for exactly who you are, and who's not afraid to say that out loud.
Right on. That's what it takes. Name of the person you just heard, or the content creator, is Bariatric Betty. And the reason I'm choosing to believe her, the victim in this one, is because this feels too much like, well, A, this involves young men. Young, dumb, and stupid. And it has so many signs of, oops, time to cover up. Oops, we ran over this person. Time to cover up. There's too much of, like, the fact that you asked a drunk girl to record herself. Five dudes, big ass dudes, to record her and consent. That's, it has too many signs of y'all the monsters in there. And also, contrary to, all right, you know, I can't say it better than Bariatric Betty. All right.
So you're a philosopher?
I don't know if it was a good idea to go from, like, I'm emotionally charged by after that last content, but I will truck through it. All right, so this is the last, this is the last piece of randomness, but I just realized that I forgot to read my quotes, because one of them relates to this randomness, and you know what, fuck it, my goddamn podcast, made a mistake. All right, so let's fit in the quotes, and then we'll get to this last piece of randomness. All right, so the first one goes, "Know your worth, because they're hoping that you don't." Second, "The entire point of life is to take chances on dreams that can seem crazy to most, but feel like destiny to you." That's how I feel about this podcast. And last one is, "Fuck him. You don't get to tell black people how to act when they're called the N-word." Jane Fonda.
Message!
I meant to add, like, so, today's episode is brought to you by the letter R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Well, fuck Hulk Hogan. Fuck Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan.
And I hope they burn in hell!
Fuck it, look, man. Who kidding, man? We're at war with these people. Now, I bring up Hulk Hogan just because if you're on the internet, you've probably seen, I'm going to call this the fall of Joey Swole. Joey Swole. in the label, I left it as Jerry Swollen Hulk Hogan sitting in a tree. All right. Short news. Jerry Swole. Am I pronouncing it? Yeah. Joey Swole, the athlete. The influencer, the gym influencer, the fucking health, whatever, the fitness influencer. Jesus Christ, we gonna be all right. The fitness influencer got himself in trouble. Got in trouble with the internet. Well, not with his people, not with his supporters, but he didn't get in trouble. I'm starting to think this is all, he's gonna be all right. But after Hulk Hogan died, he decided to share an homage about Hulk Hogan. And after he got blowback. God damn it. I'm listening to words here. He then apologized for it. And then after he quit the internet, you know what? Let me just play this clip first.
I can post Hulk Hogan if I want to. Just because somebody makes a mistake in their life doesn't mean that they haven't done good things.
I didn't know to the extent of all the horrible things that he had done. Okay. I owe my followers, my community, and all of social media an apology.
I can post Hulk Hogan if I want to. Just because somebody makes a mistake in their life doesn't mean that they haven't done good things.
I didn't know to the extent of all the horrible things that he had done.
Okay, the man was nice to me. He made a mistake. I'm not God.
Instead of listening and understanding like I should have, I became defensive and said,
if you're going to attack me, you better go after the colored athletes and the people that are black and minority that went and posted him as well.
I am human. I am still growing. I am still learning.
I bought a black girl a gym membership that was being discriminated against at the gym.
And I promise all of you, I will do better.
Who I voted for is none of your business.
I'm feeling vindicated. Someone I always hated is finally getting the just desserts. Better late than never, always works. I'm feeling vindicated. Instead of an empty apology,
write a check.
Check. You fucked up and you wanna say sorry.
Come on.
Then go ahead and show us the money. Oh, instead of an empty apology, write a check. Instead of claiming ignorance, read a book.
Or listen to black people.
Oh, instead of claiming ignorance, read a book.
Or listen to black people. Because we definitely told you he was a capital R racist and had used the hard R, but you doubled down and said you didn't care, but now you probably lost some brand deals. So you care.
Oh, instead of claiming ignorance, read a book.
All right. Okay. There we go. Now the real reason I'm bringing up this topic, and I'm going over time here, so I'm gonna organize my thoughts. I'm disappointed. Way more, I'm disappointed than I'm feeling let down as a black person. But a part of me is like, well, that's what you get for looking up to be white dudes. Because okay, what people don't get. The heartbreaking thing is a lot of us kids grew up on Hulk Hogan. For example, on Hulk Hogan, I remember my cousin, he was a huge fan of his, and he would do like the ear thing, and oh my God, and me and him bonded on his love for Hulk Hogan. Then you become an adult and you hear this and recording of him and being like, I don't watch him and he'll be these niggas. And then you got Joey Swole dismissing what Hulk Hogan did as a mistake. That white lady, that news anchor white lady who accidentally said nigger when she was trying to say, but her brain confused Lakers and the Knicks together. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Like, you know, even my Hotep side is like, no, that bitch did that on purpose. But no, that's a mistake. Hulk Hogan was like, nah, fuck. Who knows what stories there exist out there of black people who've seen the full fury of his racism. And then Joey Swole dismisses it as a mistake. But the real reason why I bring this up, the huge disappointment, is because I'm connecting to this story, is because he reminded me of a gym trainer who I had, and broke my heart in the same way, man. White gym trainer. And this is actually, yeah, it's a funny end to the story. But the gym trainer is, okay, I remember reaching my 40s. When I reached my 40s, and I was reading about all my favorite rappers dying in that age. And but I remember telling myself, okay, fuck it, I'm going to take my health more seriously. And the first thing I did, because I had the money for it, is I got myself to hire a gym trainer. And yeah, finally got myself, I'm going to be one of those people who, I remember telling the same gym trainer is how this one year I was walking home from work, and to get to my bus, I had to pass by a gym, and there's this big glass, and I could see all these people working out. And this was like New Year's Eve, and I was amazed at the people in there working out. I'm like, fuck, wow, where does that willpower come from? And I told this gym trainer that I hired at the time how, give you a long answer, but I remember saying, I want to be like that. And I want to be one of those people who love going to the gym, who like the health. And part of it is, and I realized he didn't understand what I was trying to say. I was talking to the wrong person, but I was trying to say that, help me see your passion. Help me fucking talk about help me understand. I guess I was kind of hoping, whatever, it would rub off on me. Like, I wasn't expected to be all Joey Swole, all exercise, but I did want at least to be that guy who, like, fuck it, I'm going to the gym, not thinking, and, you know, boom, boom, I'm ready to go. Like, goes to the gym religious. Goes to the gym the same way I'm podcasting, religiously. I stick to it. Anyway, so I find this guy. No, okay. And you know what? Okay, I'll just get to the punch. No, white dude. I remember one of the three criterias before I get to the thing. The first criteria is I knew him from a previous gym I went to. He used to work there, and we used to, like, we weren't friends, but I remember getting good vibes from him and whatnot. I was like, oh yeah, he looks like a cool dude. And so he was the guy I picked. And yo, this motherfucker, let's just say that if he does know what he's doing, he surely does not know how to explain it, at least to a person like me. Yes, I remember telling him, dude, I need you to succeed where all my gym teachers failed. Anyways, long story short, if he knew what he was doing, he didn't really show it. Like, he set me up with a diet plan, with a whatever. You know what it is? I think he was good at quick results. He was a quick result person. And so, yes, I did get the results, but what I didn't get was more than the result was the habit. This motherfucker had me eating some diet that I couldn't sustain. It was ridiculous. Anyway, but that wasn't the real problem. The real problem is his gym training style involved communicating through Facebook. So in order to do that, we had to be friends. Biggest mistake ever. At first, I thought I hated the guy for putting me on a diet. This motherfucker would not shut the fuck up about my anything conscious posts. The white dude said, oh, that's stupid. Why you gotta make it about race? Like, he was that guy. I remember that dude. Oh, I remember. Yes, he used to listen to rap music. So I remember believing that he must be cool. He likes what? He's a white guy who likes rap music. Usually they're cool. Wrong. Anyway, so he was like one of those white people who, like, love black culture, fucking hate the people. Because he had so many, like, it was enough for me to be distracted from my routine and from the gym, from the regiment and all that. And I was just more focused on hating him. And then I was so glad to, like, quit that program. It was like a relief. Like, I hated the dude. But what's even worse is the picture that he It took me 10 years to get over it, to not associate him with gym culture. And, like, he was, I felt like all gym bros were him. And okay, this was okay. Gym bros were him, but I hated the guy. That's the point. I still hate. I think it's been hard to decouple. Is that the word? Decouple my hatred for him and the fitness world. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he caused it. I mean, it started at the beginning, but what I was hoping he'd fix, he just made it worse. But he reminded me so much of Joey Smo. And what's even, I could not have an intelligent conversation about this dude about race. But here's the real clincher in this, right? The real life lesson to all this. The three criteria I use to pick it, because, you know, this is me taking responsibility for my action, is one, because I thought I had good, he was a white guy who liked rap music. Two, he was swole. I remember telling myself, that's the kind of body I want to have. That's not, who knows? Who knew at the time? I thought that's how you pick whatever. That's the kind of body he has. And three, he had a hot girlfriend. That I use those three criterias to pick a gym trainer, and then now I'm fast forward to today. I fucking hate gym culture. But anyways, I'm just saying. Every time I think he was like the last point I was making is when I discovered Joey Swole, he was slowly undoing the damages created by that gym trainer. Because I really loved how he was trying to paint the image of, no, gym culture is friendly. It's a positive environment. The bad people are in there. They should be shamed. And I'm on here to shame them. Like, holy shit. If I had the money, I would have hired Joey Swole to be my gym trainer. Because he's also got, he's swollen and he's got a hot girlfriend. But he's positive. He's positive. And fast forward to this, and then now it's like, fuck. Well, yeah, all this to say that, yeah, no, it's a heartbreak, but that's what I get for falling in love. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I get, man. It's the racism, and it's like, don't put us all in the same boat. Fuck that. Fuck that. So after this, this is the reason why I'm going to stuff my fat face. I'm kidding. I'm actually in a gym now, but it's in a different kind of gym. It's a group exercise thing, and I'm kind of liking it. And turns out that it helps to have a good playlist. But whatever, man. But yeah, man, I'm not going to diss Joey Swole, but I am going to say that do better. Dude, you've let us down like a mother. And but here's the thing. I think he's going after that white supremacy money like Sydney Sweeney. So, wow. Yeah, man, it's in style. Yo, fuck, Trump has made it great to be racism. Like, it's your time. If you're a white racist, this is your time. It's business is good for you people. There's a supply and demand and all that shit. But yeah, I will end here and let's jump into feature thought, but before we do that, quick break. Alright, so step one. What's the name of the book again? Jesus Christ. Sammy Davis Jr. He's an interesting character, man. Who knew? And first point I need to make is, so I remember reaching a point after George Floyd and a series of racist incident at work, I was unable to like stomach all the microaggression and overt racism I dealt with at work. And I didn't explode. Well, I did explode, but on myself. And I ended up like needing to take some time off from work as a result. Fuck me up. But I remember after I started healing, getting back to work, telling myself that, yo, I am no longer ever tap dancing for these crackers. Tap dancing for these crackers, it means is tolerating racist right jokes, tolerating microaggression, tolerating racism, or laughing at bad black jokes. Because even I don't, not giving a fuck. Because this is what happens when you surround yourself with white people and most of them are like, you're like the first black person they meet in their lives. So some bullshit might happen. But I remember telling myself, no more. No more tap dancing. And then fast forward to today, I'm reading a book about a black man who used to tap dance for these crackers. I am not dissing Sammy Davis Jr. It's fast. I just love the, I don't know if the word, it's irony, but I just love how the plot twist in this life. Because the thing is, I'm fascinated by this human being, by this person. I didn't know much from him. It's so much that I'm reading his book, and then I went to, on the weekend, I watched for the first time Ocean's 11. No, not Ocean's 11 with Brad Pitt and I'm really going to forget actor's name, right? And shit, Bernie Mac and everyone else, whatever. But the original one with Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. And funny enough, I actually liked it. It was kind of interesting. Then I watched, again, still reading the book. Then I'm watching this clip of Sammy Davis Jr. with his father and his uncle. I forget the name of the... Oh, wait a minute. It's right here. No, it's not. I lied. But I saw him perform, and this dude is talented. And let's just say it's inspiring. Let's just say it's inspiring. And I actually had made notes on what I wanted to bring up. Oh, shit. I thought I did. Fuck me. Summer. Oh, right. Forgot that. Found my notes. Okay. I, like I said, I'm inspired by this gentleman. This might be what inspires me to get back into comedy, because he's a showman. And I love his attitude about touching the audience. But 3 points I'm going to make is, one is his fight with racism. I see a lot of similarity in his, okay, let's just establish the racism he confronted was way more horrific than I have. I mean, like getting fucked up, getting beat up, but his attitude towards it and fighting it and not letting whitey bring him down. But look, man, his story is a great example of the complexity of being black in a white man's world, in a white people's world, or white man's world, whatever you want to call it. It's complex. But to add to that complexity, I've passed the chapter where Sammy Davis is getting heat from black people because they're like, hey, Sammy Davis only hangs out with the whites. And I'm at the chapter where he's having a conversation with the editor from Jet Magazine. And they wrote an article that Sammy didn't like, and he's confronting the editor about it. And apparently the editor is like, fuck this nigga, I don't like you. Like, started out with how he doesn't like him, and then Sammy just tells his story. And what I like about, by the end of the story is, the dude from Jet Magazine realizes that, oh, this is beautiful. Sammy's blackness, he is a black man. It's just his experience probably as a superstar making in this white world is just slightly different. And I guess the dude from Jet Magazine realized, well, they, I won't say they reached a compromise, but they had an understanding. By the end of that conversation, it's like, yo, homeboy, you need to understand that the world you live in, whatever the fuck you do, we're going to have to print it. It's just your celebrity, we print it. But the one promise I will make to you, that's the dude from Jet Magazine saying, is whatever we write, I promise it will be true. And on the Sammy Davis Jr. side is, I remember he was saying, look, because he was getting criticized for, yo, you came to Brooklyn, didn't go in the black community. By the way, Sammy, he was born in Harlem. You came to Brooklyn, didn't go in the black side. You came to San Francisco, you didn't go to Oakland and shit like that. And I love the point he was, what Sam was saying, but it was to the point of, look, dude, I'm not going to put on a performance so people will believe that I'm down with black folks. I'm not going to just take a quick visit to Harlem, make like an appearance like a politician, wave, kiss babies, and then, all right, remember to write that down. Sammy Davis Jr. is black and whatnot. But I guess my biggest, the part that impresses me about him is he kept it real. He just kept it real, man. He just kept it real. He's just a human being trying to live his authentic life, trying to be his authentic self. That's what gets me. That's what I like about it, right? And the last is, and again, I'm at the chapter where, I was going to say spoiler alert, but it's history, is how he discovers Judaism, and he has something in his life that made him want to, and he's considering, he's at the point where, no, he wants to convert to Judaism, and he's talking to a rabbi about it, and oh my God, the deep conversation he's having with the rabbi, and I think the rabbi is like convinced, yeah, no, he wants it, but he's being a smart guy and saying, thus the rabbi is being wise and saying, no, dude, I need to make sure you really want to. Like, I don't want you to, like, act like, hey, I met this hot girl, I want to marry her. It's like, whoa, take your fucking time. Pretend, like, just act like her husband right now. Act like her husband. Act like she's your wife. Like, just test drive the whole thing. But the reason why this impresses me is because I feel like the way he speaks about Judaism is like he really believes in that shit. Now, I gotta quickly jump in and say that, look, I'm still an ex-Christian. Hang on to it. I'm done with religion. Fucking Abrahamic religion. I ain't trying to hear that shit. Not for me. I am not, this is not me saying, I think I want to change to Judaism. No, fuck of that. I've already started with Christianity. I ain't trying to go back to it. But reading those pages and how Mr. Sammy Davis Jr. speaks about Judaism, it reminded me that I don't hate religion. I don't hate religion if it makes you a better person. And by better person, I mean like how Common the rapper says that, But one root that stem them, but people of the venom try to trim them and use religion as an emblem when it should be a natural way of life. Who am I to say to whom you pray ain't right? That's who you got doing right. That's who got you doing right and got you this far. Whether you say in Jesus' name or Hamdu Allah. And that's what I'm saying, man. Look. I don't know how you make it in this world, but if your religion, the relationship with your God or your religion, emphasis on the word relationship, makes you a better person, wakes you up at night, stops you from blowing your head off, and is the reason why it's keeps you on a moral path, and you don't hurt anyone, power to you, man. Good for you. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm seeing is I'm hearing from Sammy when he talks about it. But yeah, man, that's it's deep, man. It's really deep. It's really deep. Anyways, I'm gonna wrap this up, and I wrap this up with this last thing is I was talking about the victim of those five hockey players, and I'm in a situation where I am currently, some racist shit happened at work, and I'm documenting everything, writing it, because you're supposed to do that, you know. By the way, you gotta document this shit. I fucking hate the process. I really hate it, but yeah, fight the power. That's how you gotta do. You gotta write this shit down. And I remember how writing it down was difficult for me because it was surfacing a whole bunch of emotion I didn't want to process with. And I only bring this up because I think of the poor victims who confront their abusers in court. I'm complaining about writing it down. They have to write it down and then go in court and talk about it. Like, it's not easy. This is my point. It's not easy. Anyways, while doing so, I remember reaching a point and saying, I feel like a bitch writing this shit down. Like, I'm writing things down that I should be fucking somebody up for this shit. You know, I should be like, fuck writing shit down. I should be like, Heineken bottle to the head type of thing. Anyway, so out of sheer curiosity, I plugged into AI. I said, look, I feel like a bitch documenting the shit that's happened to me, that happened to be at work. And I like the response that I got back. Like, I nearly titled today's episode, System That Depends on Your Silence. And it goes, let me read it. It goes, it's fucked up that the people who get harmed also have to turn themselves inside out just to be believed, documented, or approved for help. That part where you feel like a quote-unquote bitch, yeah, I wrote the real bitch, for writing it, that's not weakness. That's conditioning. You were trained like many, okay, that's kind of fucked up, says many of us, take it easy. I think you meant to say, it meant to say many others, but it said, you were trained, like many of us, to believe that naming harm makes you the problem. I love that line. You were trained, like many of us, to believe that naming the harm makes you the problem, but it doesn't. You're not weak. You're not dramatic. And you're sure as hell not a bitch. Look at me getting cheered up by AI. Go Skynet. You're just tired of holding it all in. And writing it down doesn't make you small. It makes you dangerous to a system that depends on your silence. So keep writing, keep telling it. You don't owe them comfort. And when you're ready to finish this, I'm still right here. I remember part of me bringing up Sammy Davis Jr.'s, going through his story, it's inspiring. It's my way of, he fought racism his way, or he confronted, dealt with racism his way, and I'm dealing with it my way. And both of us are choosing to not back down and not let us, you can't keep a black man down. Not let this the devil bring us down. Damn, I love that conclusion. All right. Okay, this concludes today's episode. 287. Not sure what I'm going to be. The Curse of the Zero. Sounds cool, eh? Or the Tap Dancing Negro. I think it's going to be Tap Dancing Negro. Hopefully I won't get censored for it. Before I end this show, oh, right, shutuppodcast.com is the website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rue's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey and Hulk Hogan. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast.
Shut up.